Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. All right, well, before we do get started, today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners, and we are in the second week of our listener support campaign, and you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Throughout the year, any donation of $7 or more will receive access to our premium site. But during our listener support campaign, which runs through March the 9th, for any donation of $20 or more, we will send you one of my ebooks, either one of my superhero comedy stories or All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo, which is a book about life lessons that can be learned from great detectives of radio, television, and literature, plus one additional thank you gift. And among the options we have is one of the great Colonial Radio Theater, Perry Mason, or Father Brown collections. Their Father Brown stories are very faithful to what G.K. Chesterton wrote, and their Perry Mason adaptations are from the actual novels from the 1930s, so they have a little bit of different flavor than the television series. Plus, we have other options from Colonial available, including King Solomon's Mine, The Martian Chronicles, or their Western series, Powder River. And that's with a donation of $20 or more. A lot of other options available. You can check them all out at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now we turn to probably one of the most difficult to figure out serials in the series run, and that's the Kreinsberg matter. And there have been so many things said about this and so much confusion. There have been people who've stated that there was a seventh part or that there's one part missing. Basically, part of this has even been caused by recordings that have incorrect information appended to the end when Johnny gives the teaser for next week's program. But I think that based on what we heard last week with the key that the program would have the story start on Friday after the Republican convention, that really gives us that there's one part on Friday and then five parts the next week. And I don't think that there's any other way that you can come up with that. But there's actually been people who have advocated that there's a seventh part out there. But I've listened all the way through, and this is complete as is. So here from August 24th and August 27th is the Kreinsberg matter, parts 1 and 1A.
Good, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Bob Lauder, Johnny, Tri-State Guarantee.
Hiya, Bob. Been a long time.
I wish it were a longer time.
Nothing personal in that, is it?
No, just bad temper. I'm on the prod, Johnny. We had a pearl necklace swipe, and it's got me irritated.
Does the same thing to an oyster, the way I hear.
Yeah, but in reverse. If an oyster gets irritated, he makes a pearl. I lose a pearl, I get irritated. Right now, I'm irritated 38 pearls worth.
Say it, money.
20,000 clams. Ever hear of Smiley Pearl?
Smiley Pearl. Oh, sure. Small-time jewel thief. Couple of raps. Haven't heard of him lately, though.
Well, you're here now. He phoned us from Ohio an hour ago. Says he's got the necklace and wants to talk a deal.
Who's your client?
A girl named Melba Crane. A real snooty-tootie, the way I get it. Owns a town or something. Anyhow, it's named after her family. Kreinsberg, Ohio.
Well, if I can find it on the map, I'll see about a plane reservation.
Don't bother, Johnny. You already got one.
Tonight,
And every weekday night, Bob Bailey, transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office Tri-State Guarantee Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Cranesburg matter. Item 1, $105.35, incidentals in Hartford and transportation to Cranesburg, Ohio. I checked into the hotel, the Crane Hotel, incidentally, and per instructions, waited for contact by one Smiley Prell, jewel thief. That Crane name was beginning to run out of my ears, so for the moment at least, I postponed calling on the family itself. As it happened, though, the family came to me. Or at any rate, one of them did. Come in.
My name is Phineas Crane, Mr. Dollar. May I...
Oh, sure, sure. Come on in, Mr. Crane.
Thank you, sir.
You're related to Miss Melba Crane?
Melba is my niece.
And the necklace belonged to her?
That is correct. It was her own personal property, not a part of any family holding.
Oh, I see. Well, sit down, won't you, Mr. Crane?
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Just who constitutes the family you mentioned?
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Dollar, only Melba and myself now. We're the last remaining survivors. Now I see you're unpacking, sir. You just go right ahead and forgive my intrusion.
Well, yeah, you did catch me a little by surprise. I just got in town a few minutes ago, and I wasn't expecting this.
Mr. Lauder of the insurance company wired that you were coming, and I was waiting here at the hotel.
Oh.
I understand the thief has approached you.
Well, no, not me personally, no. He phoned the main office in Hartford and talked to Lauder.
I see.
I'll probably hear from him sometime this afternoon.
Now, you say he, Mr. Dollar. Are you certain the call was from a man?
Lauder was certain. Do you have some reason to doubt it?
Oh, no, not at all. I just wondered.
The name he gave is a known jewel thief. Several previous convictions. Smiley Prell.
Yes, and the call was made from here in Cranesburg.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's very remarkable.
Why so?
Well, this is quite a small town, as you've no doubt noticed. Now, a stranger would draw attention. It'd be somewhat conspicuous.
Oh, not necessarily. Smiley may have come here some time ago to establish himself. You may even have met him, Mr. Crane.
Oh, no. I'm quite sure that I was utterly impossible.
Did Lauder wire you a description?
No, of course not.
Then how can you be so sure?
Well, I just haven't met any strangers in the last few months. Not a one.
Oh, I see. Well, I am now at home. Can I order you up something from the bar, Mr. Crane?
No, thank you. No, I really have to run on. I only stopped in for a minute.
Did you have anything special in mind?
Oh, no, nothing at all.
I don't believe you, Mr. Crane.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Well, I just don't believe you. Care for a cigarette?
Oh, no, thank you. I never smoked. And I must say, I fail to understand your implication.
You understand it all right.
Mr. Dollar, I'm afraid...
Now, what is it, Mr. Crane? Is there something phony about the loss of that necklace?
Certainly not.
Then what's up?
I merely came here to offer my help, and Melba's too, of course. I wanted you to know that we'll be glad to cooperate fully in any action you may choose to take.
That's very generous of you, and your niece.
My niece? Well, she's a very remarkable girl, Melba.
Oh?
Yeah, she's a trifle headstrong at times, of course. Not always inclined to use the best judgment.
Uh-huh. How has she shown this lack of judgment, Mr. Crane?
Oh, there's nothing specific at all, but I did want to see you before you talk to her. You understand? Let you know kind of what to expect, as you might say. Well, naturally, she's very upset over the loss of her necklace.
I imagine.
You don't have any hope, I suppose, of recovering it?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have a lot of hope of recovering it. Possibly within 24 hours.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, no, Vincent, and Mabel would be very happy to hear that. It was an engagement gift, you understand, from her fiancé, Dean Sellers, his name. Oh, she was quite broken up when it was stolen.
Well, the $20,000 necklace is a pretty fair loss. Now, Mr. Crane...
Oh, it's not the intrinsic value at all, Mr. Dollar.
No, I suppose not, since that part of it is covered by the insurance.
Well, yeah, that's quite so. But I was referring to the sentimental attachment, you understand.
Oh, naturally.
And, of course, to the sheer beauty. Oh, it was lovely, Mr. Dollar. You've seen the necklace, I suppose.
No, but I've got photographs of it.
Oh, yes, of course, yes, from the insurance company.
Yeah, it's quite an unusual ornament, with each pearl set individually in a platinum mounting. And the whole thing is... Oh, pardon me. Johnny Dollar.
This is you-know-who, Mr. Dollar. Is it all right to talk?
Yeah, go ahead, shoot.
All right. You know where the Green Lion Bar is?
I'll find it.
Well, meet me there, then, in hour and a half.
Check.
And I won't have it on me, Dollar, so don't go smarty pants on me, or you'll be holding the sack. I just want you and me, you understand? No cops, huh?
I've been in this game a long time, John.
Yeah, that's what I'm counting on, so I'll see you later.
That was the thief, I presume?
So he says.
Well, I've got to be running along now. If there's anything I can do...
Well, you can finish what you were saying about your niece, if you will.
Oh, no. There was nothing, really. Not at all.
I see.
It's just that Melba's a bit too, impulsive at times.
Oh.
Headstrong, you know. She's young and she's foolish, but she never means any actual harm by it. No, not really, she doesn't. Now, I'm sure you understand that, Mr. Dollar. So, a good day, sir.
Item 2, $26 even. Deposit in first day's rental on a hired car. I checked on the location of the Green Lion 15 minutes from the center of town, so there was plenty of time to follow up another angle before I went to meet Smiley Prell. I parked the car in front of the Cranesburg Bank, went inside, and presented my credentials and a letter of introduction to Milton Borkley, president.
Step inside the office, Mr. Dollar. We'll have a little privacy, at least.
Thanks, Mr. Borkley.
Have a seat.
All right, thanks.
Any recommendation to Bob Waters is good enough for me. He handled a lot of investments for Tri-State. You're a fine company.
Nice company to work for.
Now, what can I do for you, Mr. Dollar?
Well, it's just the usual routine check in cases of this kind. The general financial status of the Crane Bunch.
You mean the Crane Chemical Company or the Crane family?
Well, I assume the two went together.
No, not for several years now. Melba's father sold the last of the family stock a while before his death. Neither Phineas nor Melba have 1 cent of ownership in the company.
I see.
Now, the company, of course, is in excellent financial condition.
It's the family we're concerned with.
Well, there the picture is a little different. The fact is that although they're the social leaders of the town and everybody figures they're rolling in it, the Cranes are broke. Flat broke. Have been for a couple of years now.
But as I understand it, they live at quite a fancy estate out on the edge of town.
Sure. And it's mortgaged to the hilt.
That's very interesting.
Of course, lately, old Phineas seems to be going around with a pocket full of money. I don't know where he got it. It is a funny thing.
How lately? Since the necklace was stolen? Or before?
Oh, long before. 2 or 3 months. The robbery was only last week.
Supposedly, at least.
No, I see what you mean, but it's not the answer. Melba wore those pearls to the country club dance just a few days before they were taken.
Well, it was an idea.
I'll give you a piece of advice, Mr. Dollar. Have more than just an idea before you get too rough with Melba Crane or her uncle.
Oh?
If money or no money, they're still top society here. The local aristocrats. And the town kind of takes care of its own.
Well, as I said, this is only routine. I don't have the slightest bit of evidence that the Cranes are trying to pull an insurance swindle. But I get paid to be suspicious, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wondered myself where Phineas was getting the money.
Any ideas about it?
No, not unless he's been borrowing from his prospective son-in-law.
Dean Sellers, the lad who gave Miss Crane the pearls?
Yes.
How is he fixed financially?
A man who can afford a $20,000 engagement gift?
Yeah, we can assume he's eating regularly, I suppose.
Well, actually, I don't know too much about him. He's an out-of-towner, came here about 8 months ago. Doesn't bank with me.
I see.
But I will tell you one thing. If he doesn't have money now, he certainly will have before long. He's a go-getter, that boy.
Yeah, he must be. Here 8 months and engaged to the town belle.
Oh, he's a whirlwind. Keeps 6 or 8 projects going all at once.
For instance?
Real estate, business promotion, one thing and another. So busy, he even had to postpone the wedding. They were supposed to get hitched 3 weeks ago. Of course, I hear that may be due to,
Due to what?
Mr. Dollar, this whole thing is odd enough just on the basis of facts. The rumors, I think we'll skip. I'm sure you understand.
That was the second time I was supposed to, quote, understand, unquote. Phineas Crane was sure I could understand about his niece. And banker Milton Borkley was equally certain about the rumors. As a matter of fact, I understood less about the whole thing than I did when I first got in town. I wasn't getting anywhere. I was losing ground. Item 3, $1.40, two dry martinis in the Green Lion Bar while I waited for Smiley Prell. He was 20 minutes late, but he finally showed up, slipped into the back booth across from me.
You Dollar?
Right. Have a drink?
No, some other time. I only got about 1 minute.
All right. What's your price?
No price, not now.
Oh, look, Smiley, a minute's not long enough to do much bargaining.
Well, I didn't come here to bargain.
Well, I did. And we assume from the way you talked on the phone to Hartford, you felt the same way.
Keep your shirt on, chum. We'll make a deal, all right, but later. Not right now.
Why not?
Because something's come up. I got to get it straightened out.
What?
Never mind. Hey, look. You remember this address, huh? 1412 North Oak Street, room 6. Huh? The boarding house. Now, you meet me there at 9 o'clock tonight.
Oh, wait a minute. What's this all about?
I haven't got time, chum. Don't worry. You'll get your beads back one way or another.
What do you mean?
I mean that somebody's trying to hand old Smiley a real quick shuffle. First class double cross. And I'm going to see to it that somebody gets it right in the neck.
Who? Who's the somebody?
Never mind. You just sit tight and meet me at 9 o'clock. And I think I'll be in a position to give you a lot more than just the necklace. You understand?
Frankly, no.
Well, you will. You're going to understand real good before you're through. So stick around, Dollar.
Johnny Dollar.
I guess we were cut off, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, apparently. Now, who did you say
you... My name's Bartlett, J.D. Bartlett.
You mean you work for Mr. Bartlett?
I mean, I am Mr. Bartlett. I mean, Miss Bartlett. Oh, now you've got me all confused.
You're confused.
Look, Mr. Dollar, the only J.D. Bartlett in town is me. I'm him. Now, you see what you've done.
I'll never forgive myself.
Well, anyway, I'm the Tri-State Guarantee Agent here in Cranesburg, and it seems the least you could have done was to look me up.
Well, give me time. I just got in town.
You had time to rush out there to that south side bar and start lushing it up.
I came out here to this joint to talk to a jewel thief.
You what? Jewel thief?
It's the guy who phoned Hartford and offered to make a deal on the Crane necklace. He claims he's the one who stole it, that for a slight consideration I can get it back.
And what do you think?
I think I've walked in on the nuttiest case in the month of cities. Hey, look, he's waiting for me at the bar. Suppose I drop by later and... Are you sure J.D. Bartlett is a woman?
You're the first man who ever doubted it. I'll see you later, Mr. Dollar.
From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office Tri-State Guarantee Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Cranesburg matter. Expense account continued. When I told her the case was nutty, I meant it. The start of it had been fairly ordinary. A pearl necklace insured for $20,000 had been stolen from a wall safe in the home of its owner, local socialite Melba Crane. Smiley Prell, a known small-time jewel thief, had phoned us, claiming to have the necklace, and Smiley offered to talk a deal. But before I'd been in town 10 minutes, things began to crumble and change shape. Melba's feather-headed Uncle Phineas had called at my hotel to warn me that his niece was headstrong and impulsive. Or at least he said that was why he called. When I'd tagged a rumor that the aristocratic Cranes were flat broke until recently. And now, at the Green Lion Inn, Smiley Prell, a burglar by admission, was turning skittish and clamming up.
Look, Dollar, I got no time to talk now.
Oh, relax, will you, Smiley? A man in your profession can't afford to develop a case of nerves.
Oh, very funny, but I gotta blow this joint. Now, I told you before you went to get that phone call, I got things to do.
Yeah, I know what you told me.
All right, then. Now, you meet me later at that place in time I told you
sit
about
down.
It.
Sit down.
you try pushing me, you're never going to get them beads back. You ever think of that?
I don't know where I am anyway.
I told you.
Sure, and an hour before on the phone, you told me to meet you here and we talk a deal.
All right, and so we will. We'll talk later.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
Dollar, how many times I got to tell you? Something's come up, and I got to get it straightened out.
Like what, for instance?
Like what? Never mind. It's none of your business. It's like personal. So, later, huh?
You said you were being handed a double cross. Now, what kind of a double cross?
That's exactly what I'm trying to figure out.
Who did it? Who crossed you?
Never mind who crossed me. It's none of your business.
Did you have a partner on this job?
Oh, look, don't try to kid me. You checked my M.O. before you ever left Hartford. If you did, then you will. You know I always work alone.
Well, it can be a first time for anything.
Look, I got no time to talk.
Did you have somebody on the inside, Smiley?
Hmm?
Somebody in the Crane house who tipped you off, briefed you?
Yeah, you want to know too much.
Is that where the double cross came from?
Oh, I got nothing more to say.
More? You haven't said anything yet.
Well, you meet me tonight where I said $2 at 9 o'clock.
You know something, Smiley? I don't think you've got it.
What are you talking about?
The necklace. I don't think you had anything to do with the robbery. I don't believe you've got it, or that you've ever even seen it.
You don't, huh?
No. No, I think you're trying to pull a con of some kind. But it's not going to work.
$1. You know what the things look like?
Yeah, I got photographs of them.
All right, then check me out. There are 38 pearls, hmm?
Yeah?
And they're pink, match color, match size. And they're not pierced like they usually are. Each one's set in a fitted platinum mount, and the mounts are fastened together with those, those little links.
What kind of a stone in the clasp?
In the clasp? There ain't any stone in the clasp. Hey, what are you trying to do?
Okay, all right, you've got it. Or at least you've seen it. So, how much do you want?
Meet me tonight at 9 o'clock, and I'll tell you, 1412 North Oak Street, room 6, and no cop. Not if you want them beads back, you understand?
Not any more than I did when I walked in here.
Well, you will, so just keep your shirt on.
Smiley, if you can talk tonight, you can talk now. There's no reason to stall around.
Oh, knock it down. Now, look, I got things to do and not much time to do them in, so go find yourself a cool pad somewhere and simmer down, huh? So long, Doc.
Item 4, 275. I was stuck with the check, naturally. So I paid it and strolled toward the door. I stopped just outside in the entranceway to the roadhouse and watched Smiley cross the parking lot toward a tree-shaded taxi stand where a couple of waiting hacks had parked out of the sun. A few yards away from me stood another cab, this one occupied. I stepped out of the entrance and walked over to the taxi because I'd recognized the passenger in the back seat. Afternoon, Mr. Crane.
What?
Oh,
what?
I'm sorry if I startled you.
Oh, no, not at all. I just didn't hear you walk up.
Yeah, I noticed you seemed pretty concerned with something across the lot.
Across
there.
The lot, but I'm afraid I don't.
It wouldn't be that fellow getting into the taxi, would it?
What fellow? I don't know what you mean, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, I could be wrong.
I hadn't even noticed the man, as a matter of fact.
Oh, well, then of course you won't mind if we just stand here and watch him drive off.
I really should get back into town.
Good. I'm going that way myself. I've got a car here. Be glad to take it.
But I've already engaged this driver.
Well, pull him off. We'll get going. Give us a chance to talk on the way in. You might as well, Mr. Crane. The other taxi is already out of sight.
Well, I hadn't noticed. Very well. Here you are, driver. Keep the change.
Oh, thank you, sir.
My car is over this way.
I'm afraid there may be a misunderstanding of some sort, Mr. Dollar.
Oh.
You seemed to be under the misapprehension that I was interested for some reason in that stranger who left.
I said I could be wrong.
And I can assure you that you are.
Here's the car.
To the best of my knowledge, I have never seen the man before in my life.
Well, there'll be days like that sometimes.
What's that?
A colloquialism of the common man, Mr. Crane. What were you doing out at the Green Lion, by the way, Mr. Crane?
Well, I was...
Killing time, were you?
Well, as a matter of fact, sir, I was waiting to talk with you.
Well, you don't say.
Yes, I was afraid I may have left a wrong impression when I talked with you at your hotel earlier today.
In what way, Mr. Crane?
But I mean about my niece, Melba.
Well, you said she was headstrong, impulsive.
Oh, yeah. yes, but not a bit more so than any other normal, average girl, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, I see.
I don't really know why I considered it so important at the time. I must have been a little upset.
Yeah, well, that's understandable. You don't have a jewel robbery in the family every day.
Maybe in the family.
I mean, stolen from the family. Yes. Apparently, we're both giving wrong impressions.
Well, yes, I'd say, well, as anyways, I'm glad that everything is cleared up now.
I wish it were.
What's that?
Nothing has been cleared up yet, as far as I can see. The necklace is still missing.
Well, of course, that isn't what I meant.
It's what I mean. It's the only reason I'm here in Cranesburg, to recover that necklace one way or another.
Well, then, what do you mean by one way or another?
Either by tagging the thief and getting it back through police action, or, if necessary, by making a deal. Just talk to the man who claims to be in possession of the pearls, as you know, of course, but he wasn't.
I beg your pardon, sir, but I do not know, of course.
Well, then let's say, may have guessed. You were in my hotel room when he phoned. You heard me arrange to meet him here.
I didn't really pay much attention to that phone call.
All right, anyway, when I flew in here from Hartford, I expected this to be a cut-and-dried matter of routine. I'd meet Prell, make a quick deal to get the pearls back, and catch the next plane out. Only it's apparently not going to be that way.
Yeah, it isn't. Well, what do you mean by that?
I mean, I've stumbled onto a whole nest full of question marks, and nothing seems to add up quite right. Prell, for one thing. I think he's got himself into a spot of some kind. His attitude doesn't make sense.
And what else, Mr. Dollar?
Little things. Rumors I've picked up around town. Hints. And, of course, the biggest question mark seems to be right close to home.
Which one is that?
You, Mr. Crane. When I dropped him off at the center of town, he was still fumbling with vague phrases, trying to clear up the misapprehensions, as he put it, but actually saying nothing. He was sure, however, that I would understand. He was wrong. I didn't. Even my mistake about J.D. Bartlett, Tri-State's local agent, seemed to fit in with the rest of the mixed-up case. I'd assumed from the name that Bartlett was a man. But when I walked into the office a few minutes later, I was suddenly happy that I was wrong.
Your Dollar, I presume?
That's right. Miss Bartlett.
Just make it J.D. I've spent a lot of time and effort getting those initials pounded into the skulls of the local inhabitants.
Why?
It's good for business. Makes me one of the boys, you might say.
I kind of doubt it somehow. As you mentioned on the phone, you're unmistakable.
For that, I'm going to drop the dollar and call you Johnny. Pull up a chair.
Yeah. Thanks, J.D.
Did you get anywhere with that character who snatched the Queen's rocks?
Nope.
How come?
Oh, he stalled. Postponed the whole deal until 9 o'clock tonight.
Why?
He was nervous, I guess.
What?
Well, that's about the only reason I can figure. And between him and old Phineas Crane, I'm getting a little nervous myself.
How did Phineas get into the act?
Good question. Wish I had a good answer. What about these Cranes, J.D.? What makes them tick?
Beats me.
Well, you sold them the insurance policy. You must know something about that.
I didn't sell the policy. I just permitted it to be bought from me.
How so?
Melba Crane came snooting into the office one day, dropped the pearls under my plebeian nose, and wanted them insured.
Uh-oh. Why do you dislike her?
She's a good-looking dame, and I'm pretty well-favored myself. That answer your question?
Roughly, yes. So what happened?
So I got Jim Markley, local jeweler in here, to appraise him, issued the policy, and that was that.
I understand that the necklace was an engagement gift from some newcomer in town.
Yeah, Dean Sellers. She had him hooked before he even got his bags unpacked. That skirt has the ethics of a boa constrictor, and about as much personality as a face painted on an egg.
Somehow I don't feel I'm getting an unbiased opinion.
You won't, at this address. Why can't she climb down off her pedestal and play ball with the rest of us? The Crane name, the Crane tradition, the Crane social position. The only thing they're not so high and mighty about is the Crane bank account, because there isn't one.
Yeah, except lately. As I understand it, old Phineas is flashing money around pretty freely the last few months.
Yeah, so I've heard. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't even explain Phineas.
What do you mean?
He's a rare one, that old boy. Old school tie, mouthful mush, that sort of thing. But you know, it's a matter of protecting the family name. I actually think he'd commit murder.
Now here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, When somebody kisses the wrong somebody, and somebody gets burnt up over it, and then a gun is found in the ashes, man, it's murder. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. You might have had some confusion about the part 1 and 1A thing at the start of the show. That's how it was designated. The part that appeared on Friday, that was part 1. And then what started on Monday, that was part 1A, which I guess is another thing that adds confusion to this serial. And I kind of went back and forth on how I should number this, but I decided just to stick with the way that they did it originally. I think that makes the most sense. Obviously, a lot has happened already in this series that is quite suggestive of something being hidden. And this is kind of a recurring theme. But we'll see how this unfolds. It sounds like quite a bit ahead for us in part 2 and 3 on Wednesday. All right, well, before we go, I do want to again encourage you to support our listener support campaign, support.greatdetectives.net. And among the thank you gifts we have available, at the $100 level, we have your choice of any of the 3 volumes of John C. Abbott's Great Who Is Johnny Dollar series. Volume 2 contains all the Bob Bailey episodes, including plot details on episodes that are lost. He actually went down to the Thousand Oaks libraries and looked at all the scripts. And you get the same thing in part 1, only that's with the pre-Bob Bailey dollars. And then Volume 3 contains the post-Bob Bailey dollars. So it's a great collection. And also, for a donation of $250 or more, we'll send you all 3, and that's for listeners in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, all details on potential thank you gifts available at support.greatdetectives.net. All right, well, we will see you back here on Tuesday for the Casebook of Gregory Hood. And then join us back here on Wednesday as we continue on with the Cranesburg matter. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net and follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.